God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this, all these things are available to those who come go after God, right? Yep. All these things are available. And in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You know what a cistern is? My mama used to have one. They had, y'all may still have one, some of y'all, but the gutters went down into this holding tank, and when it rained, that's where your water came from. But if one has a crack in it or something, it all leaks out. So that's what he's saying. He said, "I've given you living water, but you're like a cracked cistern, and you can't hold the presence of God that I want you to hold and even multiply," right? Because the Bible says, "Those who believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of their innermost being, will flow rivers of living water." Praise God. That's what I was going to preach about this morning, but I'm not, because this, since I got this new internet service, you know what? Not internet service, but I got a phone that you can actually stream and you can actually watch movies and you can, you know, you can waste all kinds of time or you can use it for good. But I downloaded a movie channel and it had Christian movies on it. I mean, there wasn't a lot, but so I thought I would tune in one last night, because let's face it, lots of times Christian movies are they're not real well done, but they're, praise God, they're getting better. They're getting very quality and very good. But, you know, if you think of the Thief in the Night days movies, they were powerful because the Word of God was represented in them, but they weren't real well done. So I saw one that said WWJD. I thought, this will be great. This will be nostalgic. So I put it on and I watched it and I went, wow, I need to talk about this morning. That's some pie. How many of y'all remember it was back in the 90s? Was it the 90s? You remember people used to have these little plastic bracelets that said WWJD? Do y'all remember that? Which it stood for, "What Would Jesus Do?" And it got to be, it started out, I think, as a move, but then it just got to be a Christian fad. That's what I call, and maybe y'all don't call it that. It's like Christian bookstores, when I first started going to them, they were kind of like a place of fellowship. They were kind of like a place where you went to, you could find things that was good to read, and you could find your Bibles and everything, but it didn't really feel like a business. Does that make sense? It felt like a, almost felt like a little church. I don't know if you was ever in one like that. But, you know, it got to be, well, the only one I know of, any went out of business, didn't, what's the name of it? Yeah, it was called Zondervan's when I was growing up, but growing up in the Lord. But I remember there was another saying going around, and it was, what was the name of that book? It was a promise. It was an obscure promise in the Old Testament. The Prayer of Jabez. Very good. Y'all remember that? I mean, it was good stuff. It was a good book. But then they started coming out with Jabez calendars, Jabez ashtrays, Jabez. It just got to be Jesus junk is what I call it. It just got to be junk, you know. But, I mean, there's been a lot of good things. And the devil takes them, I think, and he makes it into a fad, and people lose the power behind it. And it don't mean anything anymore. Does that make sense? Like WWJD, that started a guy named something Sheldon, Charles Sheldon wrote a book, and that's what it was about. It was about a town. A pastor challenged the whole town and congregation to, "I want you to do nothing but what Jesus would do." and it changed the whole complexion of this community. But people had to sacrifice. People had to give up things. People had to lose money. There was all kinds of things involved if you followed what Jesus did. It was like on this one last night, there was a bunch of scenarios, but one, this boy, he was an awesome, he played worship in this little bitty church. Well, he was playing in a coffee house, and these record producers from L.A. come in and said, "We love it, man, we love it. We can make you a star." He said, "Oh, that's great, man. We'll give you $10,000 up front just to sign with us." But part of the contract saying, "But you will do, we've got some songs we want you to do." And he read through it, and it was not godly songs. And he was ready to sign, but well, anyway. The whole thing was about this guy that went from town to town. His name was John Schneider. Is that not the guy that played Dukes? Is that the guy that played Dukes of Hazzard, the blonde-haired guy? It's pretty cool to see somebody like that. I mean, he was sincerely going after Jesus. But anyway, so I want to talk about WWJD today. Okay? Because I'm going to challenge you just like I'm going to challenge myself. Just like in this book, just like in these little movies and stuff, I want to challenge you, because if you're never challenged, you're never going to go any further, you know? So I'm going to challenge you this morning. And I read, I didn't have no time. I had everything prepared for this morning, but just got up early, went in the office, and it just started flowing what God wanted to say. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you implanted. God, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you make this a challenge to us. Because, God, we want to grow. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to stay the same. We want to grow in you in the power of your might, in Jesus' name. And I wrote down first, to know what Jesus would do, you must first read his manual. To know what Jesus would do, you got to read the manual, which is what? The Word of God, the Bible. You got one? Hold it up. If you got a phone with the Bible on it, hold it up. Say, I have the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It can direct me in righteousness and holiness and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to follow your Word. Teach me to follow your word. Give me strength to follow your word. And never turn my back on you, Lord. So we need to know what Jesus would do. We got to read the Word of God, don't we? But he gave us a conscience too, didn't he? You know, you can get saved and born again and never be able to read or write. And you know what's right or wrong, I think. Don't you? You feel what's right or wrong, but you need that Word of God to temper things, to make things alive to you. You need a mission statement, right? Jesus' mission statement, Mark 15, what? Or Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. And we could go on and say, and these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons. Go! Go, you filthy thing, in Jesus' name. Go! A lot of people packing around them filthy things, you know it? Woo! Don't want them. Get the demon out. Speak in new tongues, get the living water coming out in Jesus' name. And the enemy's going to come, and he's going to try to destroy you, and he's going to try to take you out with poisonous things. He's going to try to take you out. But it's not going to harm you if you belong to Jesus, right? If you're following Jesus, it's not going to harm you. So we got to know. Say, I know. Jesus is King. And I'm not. Say, Jesus is King. and I'm not. He is the master. Jesus is the master. And I'm the servant. His kingdom come, not my kingdom come. His will be done, not my will be done. Right here on earth. Right here in this body, this flesh, this dust. Let the kingdom of God come. And sometimes I've thought here, I'm going to read this in context because, and believe me, I'm all for praying His kingdom come, His will be done. But we've almost turned that whole thing into a healing verse. And that's not, I mean, it can be used like that. But it goes a lot deeper and further than just a healing verse. So let's read this in context. Go to Matthew. This is amplified, so maybe you ought to just listen. Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite?
Say something that you're not.
Exactly. And I remember one time Dave Hogan said, what about the hypocrites? He said, they'll get the hell they deserve. Yeah. Of course, that's Dave Hogan. He just makes it real. He pulls all the nice wrappers and flyers off of things, don't he? Do not. Who said that? Jesus said all this. This is all red words, right? Do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray publicly, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets so that they may be seen by men. I assure you, and most solemnly I say to you, they already have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your most private room. What's that? The secret place of the Most High. Close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, praying as they do, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. This we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven. Remember, this is some directives Jesus has given you. When you want to be WWJD, you should know the Lord's Prayer. Because they said, teach us to pray, Lord. And He says, pray in this manner. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done right here on earth like it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I think in the King James, in Luke or Matthew 1, it says, deliver us from the evil one. Talking about Satan. Deliver us from the plans of the enemy. Deliver us from the Jezebel spirit. Deliver us from the Leviathan. Deliver us from everything that tries to strangle us and choke us and make us unfruitful, right? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. If you do not forgive others, brackets, nurturing your hurt, what's nurturing? Like taking a baby and feeding it a bottle, trying to raise it up and make it strong, right? Nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God. Then your Father will not forgive your trespass. Is that powerful?
It is.
Is it easy? Not always. It's good to hold a grudge when you've got a reason to. It feels good. It makes your flesh. Of course, it kills you and it destroys you and it gives you ulcers and it takes years off your life. But it feels kind of good to hold a grudge when you know you're right. And we would never hold one if we didn't know we were right, right? But if Jesus held everything against us, like I say, we must forgive. And we'll enjoy forgiving when it gets to be a practice in our life. When what would Jesus do? Jesus forgave.
Yes.
Jesus forgave no matter how. Jesus forgave people that spit on him. Jesus forgave people that cursed him. Jesus forgave people that put nails through his hands and feet. Jesus forgave people that whipped his back until you could see his bones and inner organs. Jesus forgave.
Amen.
There's only one person, one entity that I know that Jesus has never forgiven. Satan. He'll never be forgiven. He can't be forgiven. He's already sealed his fate. Matthew 19. WWJD. Jesus would keep his Father's commandments. Is that true? Did he keep them? Every one of them? 19 verse 16. Behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Here you go. You want it? Here it is. He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. In other words, yeah, you're talking to him. You're talking to God. I am good, right? But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. This is Jesus talking. This isn't Isaiah. This isn't some Old Testament prophet. This isn't Moses. He says, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? You kind of like to narrow them down because you got your ones you don't like to keep and ones that aren't so hard. Murder, you know, most of us don't have a problem with mass murder. You know, maybe some of you have, but you've been forgiven. I mean, you know, there's certain things that the sin that so easily besets you, right? Which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. He's going, I got that in the bag. I've never done that. You shall not commit adultery. Well, I've always been true to my wife. I've never strayed away like that. You shall not steal. No problem. I'm a rich guy. I don't have to worry about that. I got plenty of money. You shall not bear false witness. What's that, lying? Telling the untruth? Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which takes all of them in, really. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're all wrapped up in these two. Young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. But he realized something, didn't he? He said, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And it's easy for us to sit here and second guess this guy, because we go, oh, well, you know. Jesus came to him, Nina. I'm picking you out because you're kind of greedy. Jesus came to him and said, look, if you want to be perfect, give up all your riches, give up everything you own, sell it, and give it to poor people, and come follow me. And we read that and go, I'd do that in a heartbeat if Jesus walked up to me and said that. I would. There would be no hesitation whatsoever that I would do that. Then how come he had to say the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches come in and make us unfruitful? Because we're prone to go after the flesh. We're prone to go after the world. We're prone to go after pretty nice things. And there's nothing wrong with pretty nice things. But if Jesus says, I want you to sacrifice this to me, I want you to give this to me. Have y'all ever had Jesus do that to you, pull a trick on you?
Yeah.
Not a trick. I shouldn't make it. You probably heard this story. I'm sorry when you've been around long as I have. I can't help. If you get a new preacher every 2 years like the Methodist Church now, you don't get many reruns. But I can't help it. Y'all haven't kicked me out yet. The conference hadn't kicked me out yet. So I remember one time there was a lot of overtime available at work. It was just like all you wanted. You could dip in and just get all you wanted. Of course, you had to leave in the morning, not see your family, get home late at night, and just basically go to bed and get up and do it again the next morning. Well, I remember one paycheck. I had about 150 hours as a two-week period, which is, that's a lot of double time, time and a half. It's like a lot of money. Even when the tax man gets through, it's a lot of money. Say, that's a lot of money. It was more than double my normal paycheck. So I'm like, oh, yes, there was something I'd been wanting. It's been so long ago, I don't remember, but I was going to be able to get that cash money. I remember I got that check, and I went, yes. And the Holy Spirit, just as clear to me, said, now you take everything over your normal paycheck and give it to me. Really? That couldn't be God. That couldn't be God. Donna's ready to spend some, too. And I told her, she said, well, that ain't God. No. She didn't say that. But I'm like, you know, when we're brand new and zealous, you're just prone to do just exactly what God tells you to do, you know? We should stay that way. But sometimes God wouldn't really. It's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira. Well, God wouldn't care if I kept back a couple $100 or something I wanted. No, he said, I want it all. He didn't say, you have to do it. He said, I want you to give that to me. So, wrote a check. Here it is, God. And the next week, we had $40,000 just came in the mail to us because we've been obedient to God. No, it was not. But you knew you'd obeyed God. And you knew someday you would reap something from that. For one thing, learn a lesson. Don't store up things on earth that rust and moth and things can rust and steal away. Don't do that. There's nothing wrong with overtime, Danny. I know you get plenty of it. Sometimes you don't have no choice. I know you don't have no choice. But don't let it become your source, because a devourer, if I had kept that, there's no doubt the devourer would have probably come in and broke everything, you know. So I don't know. That's not biblical. Don't take that home. But we say it's easy for us to look at that story and go, I would have followed Jesus and gave everything away. No problem. But yet, Jesus asks us to do things all the time. And we just kind of, that wasn't really God. But you know it was. So, you know, let go of your life and just obey Jesus. There's great fruit in it, man. There's great things in it. Yes. And you might be storing up rewards in heaven. You go, well, that's way off. But it lasts forever, dude. You know, it don't matter how much money you got in a bank when you croak out of here, how many stocks or land, or it don't matter. Your kids are going to get it. The government's going to get part of it. Your kids probably don't need all that, but anyway, it is a blessing to leave inheritance to your children. No, that's a proverb. John 3. So you got to keep God's commandments. I'm not saying got to. That makes it sound like a chore. You get to keep God's commandments. You get to do things for the Lord. When he asks you to do something, you're like a soldier. He says, I need you to do this for me. You're a servant. You're like not a slave. You're like a servant. You're like, yes, I'll joyfully do this for you. You're my king. You're my Lord. I'd be glad to do that for you. You're like that, Ben, aren't you? That zealous. Yes, I'd like to do that for you. Yes, Yes. Was it stronger 2 years ago? Was it? Same? Has it slipped any? Stronger now. Praise God. Praise God. That's good. That's good. It should get stronger, shouldn't it? We programmed into this stuff that it should get weaker. It should get stronger and better, right? Better shut up. So John 3, 5 to 18. I may not read all this. Jesus said, "And most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, right? That's a WWJD. Jesus would say, you must be, Jesus did say, you must be born again. You're born of water, but you also need to be born of the Spirit, right? That's just in case somebody in here don't know Jesus. You must be born again. Y'all know that? But then when it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes, so is everyone born of the Spirit. It's just like when you work a bunch of overtime like that, and you hear the voice of God say, do this with it. It shouldn't be a surprise. It surprised Donna, didn't it? Mm-hmm. But you know that the wind blows, and it'll show me to do weird things sometimes. Like to build a sign in the middle of Greenville and set a tent up and put all kinds of things on there that people don't like. Do that. Donna's like, well, I know you're going to do it. I don't really like that, but you're going to do what God shows you to do. Go to John 20. Y'all get anything out of this? Praise God, two of you, and one of them's my wife. Y'all get anything out of this? Yeah. Praise God. John 20. It don't matter, I'm obeying God, you know. When you know you're obeying God, you can't go wrong, can you? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood. This is after Jesus died and resurrected, right? Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So we get WWJD says you must be born again. WWJD says, let me breathe on you and see you filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So you get born again. You get filled with the Spirit. Psalm 15. About character. We need character, right? We need a good character. We need people to look at us and go, oh, you can trust them. Man, they're not going to burn you. I hate it when there's a fish on a, I won't even name the name of the car lot, but they got a big fish on them, and I know they've been ripping people off since 1947 or something, and I mean ripping people off, and then they put a fish on there. I'm going to think, come on. Come on, is this what Jesus would do? I don't see many bumper stickers anymore. There used to be a lot of them, but you know, you don't want to have a Jesus loves you bumper sticker and be cutting people off and flipping them the bird and stuff. They really don't need to think you're a Christian. You know, really, you'd be better off to put a coexist sign or something on the back of your car. Then they know where you were coming from.
Last year, David Hooten was talking about stickers on cars that says, "Try Jesus."
I don't know if it's demonic. I don't think it's demonic, but I did see a church marquee that said, was it, try Jesus, don't worry, the devil will take you back if you don't like it. I'm like, really? Try Jesus? Like a soft drink or something? I don't think going back's an option, is it? Some do, but Psalm 15, I know y'all know this. This was a verse that birthed the great Hebrides revival. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell on your holy hill? He who what? Walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be moved. And the one I think of a lot is where it says, he swears to his own hurt. He makes a promise and he swears to his own hurt. It's like you put on a Craigslist, I want $500 for this car. And then the person says, I'll take it. They call you up right away and say, yeah, take it. And then a guy calls a few minutes later and says, oh, it's sold. Well, I'll give you $750 for that car right now. How's that work? Most of the world would go, I take $750. No, you've already given your word. Amen. That's what you need to stick with, even if it's to your own hurts, what it says, you know. Your word should be honorable.
Right.
Your word should be honorable. If you owe someone money, you should pay them back.
Right.
Your word should be honorable. Right?
Amen.
Shouldn't it? Shouldn't your yes be yes? When you sign a contract, by the way, that's what it means. Your yes is your yes. When you stick a credit card in there and charge it up, you're saying, I'm paying you back with 18, 20%. See, you do things and don't have a clue what you're doing, but you're saying, I will pay you $2 for every $10 you loan me. But when it's compounded, and y'all need to survey that. You need to cut them up and leave them alone. They're dangerous. How do I know? I'm a human. I've tried it. Okay. Y'all ready? I'm gonna write this down. Or you can just, when will this be online? Do you know? What's that? I have a hot spot. I can get you hooked up right now. Here's the challenge. I really seriously want y'all to take this challenge. Because if you was one of them fools, I shouldn't say fools, I should call no man a fool. Forgive me. I did it so I can say that. If you were one of those people that dumped a bucket of ice water on your head, see, I did it because I was challenged by, who was that? Chuck? He's not here to defend himself. So I did that. But take this challenge for your spiritual life. I will guarantee you if you will do this, next week you'll have a lot of testimonies to tell. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Need a drum roll. WWJD, make subject to Jesus. That means make Jesus Lord over this, okay? Everything you do. Everything you speak. Everything you think. Your past, your present, your future, your praise, your worship. And when you fall, and I guarantee you, you will, when you fall, you'll be quick to repent. What's that mean? It don't mean, oh, God, I'm sorry that I sold this car for, you know, $750 instead of $500. Oh, God, I'm sorry for that. No, what you do is you go take the money and make it right. Restitution. Did y'all ever have God convict you of restitution of things you did before Jesus? Did anybody go through that besides me? It's hard to do, isn't it? It's so humbling. What was one of yours? Can you give one real quick? Is it two?
I stole a pack of cigarettes from my husband because we were on drugs at the time. We couldn't afford my stuff like that. And I actually, when I got up here, I mailed a check back to the store that I stole them from because I felt so bad about it.
You stole a pack of cigarettes and you didn't even smoke. You stole it for your husband. But you got feeling bad and you sent a check back to the store. But you felt, after you did that, though, you felt clean, didn't you? Wow. Somebody, yes.
I remember, that's why I've been saved about 2 years. And prior to all this, you know, I was in the drug culture pretty heavy. And I owed this one guy a lot of money. I got owed him about $300 or $400.
That's a lot of money.
Story short, I paid him off, and because of that, I paid him off, and I showed him that I had integrity, and I held my word. And this was after I was saved. I was paying a drug dealer off for money I owed.
Still.
Weird thing, and so I was able to go back to his home, and I was able to bring my Bible and read my Bible in his home and talk to him about another, and he had his own issues to deal with, you know. Well, eventually somebody turned him in or something, and he knew he was going to prison. And he and I would ride around once in a while and talk. And I don't know if he ever really got saved or not, but I do know he went to prison.
Wow. He probably got the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know two or three instances that the people were shocked that you made something right that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. They're just shocked. Why would you do that? And you got to tell them, because Jesus, I was convicted. I was wrong. I had one that I'm pretty sure it brought Mr. Gadgen to the Lord. When we moved out there where we're at, we had 7 acres, but all the woods and all the firewood and stuff was back there, and we had a wood stove, so I'd just go back there, and nobody lived there, and I'd cut wood, and I didn't pay no attention to what kind of tree I was cutting down. And this is before Jesus, and he said, you know anybody's been cutting my walnut trees down? I'm like, ooh, oh, no, I don't know about that. Lying, you know. I knew that I'd cut them down. I didn't know they were walnut trees, but until after I cut them down, they real smell real good, but they make good lumber, too. So I was in church one Sunday morning, and Reverend Powell, our pastor, was talking about restitution and stuff, and it was like, bam. About 3-4 things came to me, just like, bam, 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 you know. Had forgot all about them. So right after church, it was Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know why I remember that. But right after church, it was like, go make this right with him. But I'm thinking, well, he might want a couple $1,000 for these trees, you know? I'm like, so I took $200 and I went to see him and I told him what had happened. He just started crying. This was a hard old guy that demolished buildings for a living. He just started crying. He said, I don't believe this. And I said, here's $200 and whatever, if that's not enough, tell me and I'll make it right with you. He said, no, I don't want nothing. I said, I'm going to give it to the church if you don't want it. He said, oh, I'll take it. But, I mean, when you make things right, because that don't make sense. You know, to the world, it's like, why would you? They recognize it's something supernatural when you make things right like that. And I'm sure you got stories, but when a God convicts you to make things right, man. It'll clean you out. It'll make you feel so good. And plus, you're telling somebody else the goodness of God when you do that. But make things right. Be quick to repent. But again, what would Jesus do? You got to think about it. You're watching TV and, you know, some half-naked woman comes on there. There's a situation that you know is not godly, and you're sitting there watching it, and your family's watching it with you. Think about it. Would Jesus sit down? Remember one time Steve Hill, he said, next time you're sitting on the couch, smoking a joint, drinking a beer, and watching some porn, he said, ask Jesus if he'll come in and participate with you and watch. Just ask him and see what the answer is. So I thought that pretty clear. What would Jesus do? But if you will commit to do that this week, just try to live like Jesus wants you to live and to please him in all your decisions and attitudes. And if you get mad at your family or if you blow up at your family, repent. You might be right about it, but we don't have to go off like a werewolf. You know, we don't have to be like that, you know. And if we do, we can repent. So, kids need a little werewolf every now and then. I agree with you, Fred. I heard you growl when I said that. No. Uh-oh. Well, I tell you what, let's stand up. Okay, let me just ask you, how many would commit to try to do that this week? I'm going to try to listen and listen to hear what Jesus would do. Hold your hands up if you'll try to do that. Man, I expect some awesome testimonies next. But not that you guys already aren't doing it. I just think it's going to make you more aware because you're going to get questioned. It's like test time. Yes, ma'am. Did you call me Father?
Yes.
No, I'm not that, but that's okay. I know what you're saying.
I'm not a churchgoer.
I'm so glad you're here.
But I have a testimony that I feel like you promised to give.
She's not a churchgoer, but she's got a testimony. Well, that could be the richest kind, you know what?
Yeah.
Here, I want them to hear this, okay? I'll hold it for you.
In 1986, I had a massive stroke. After my fifth baby, he killed me from Starlight to Louisville. I was dead. I went to hell. I went through several purgatories and finally the final destination. I was only a soul. I had no body, no nothing. I just, for some reason, I could see, but I wasn't a person. And they kept telling me to come over on the other side of them where hell existed. And I hollered out, no. And right at that moment, I was back into my body, but I was still dead. And they were pumping me and telling me to cough. And I was dead, but something in my head said, you're eating a raw chicken wing. and they didn't cut my throat to make me breathe. I started breathing.
Praise God.
Now, that was right after my fifth baby. I couldn't do anything with him for a year. But Pastor Mark, all these years, 29 to 61, I thought I was going to hell all that time because I already been there. Then Pastor Mark told me that it wasn't me. It was God that pulled me back, and that is the power of God. But the devil does still torment me. He always wants me to stay out of church. And God's will today was my first time in church. 100 years. Really, it's been a long time, and I just want everybody to know the power of God is so strong because it took me from hell to here. I couldn't even move. My whole body was paralyzed. I came from there to a year in rehab, and now I can raise my arms all the way up. I am left with a blind area on both eyes on the left side. I do have a lot of trouble with that, and my arms are not strong. I mean, I can raise them, but when I left the rehab, it was like this. It wouldn't go up any farther. But during that year, when I started raising my other four kids, I can now raise my hands.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I can clap. They get tired. I mean, I can do it for so long. But the power of God, I didn't know at that time. He told me, and she helped me. But it wasn't me, but God did pull me out of it. I just wanted to share it. I didn't think I ever could, but I just wanted you all to know that God is so powerful that, I mean, to bring me from there, from wherever it was, to here, finally. I'm going to try to come back every Sunday. I'm going to forgive everybody that's ever hurt me. And I'm just going to start being a different person.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But it wasn't me. It was not me. Because really, I was dead to the bone. There's no way me could have done all that action. And now I'm a character, you know. I'm a little different than most people because I had to learn everything twice. I'm talking ABCs, writing, what's your name. I had to learn everything twice in my life. So now I just would like to, like, sometimes I just want to share, you know, these things, these gifts that I have to share with other people because for some reason they don't have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm so happy that I'm here, and I hope all of you all realize if something bad, tragic happens, God can pull you back, okay? So thank you, and I hope I helped you.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, why don't you come up here, Stephanie? Come up here, and some of you women of faith lay hands on her and pray for those eyes and just pray whatever God leads you. Some of women of faith. Come on, come on, come on. And if you don't know Jesus, we talk about part of this. Are you born again? If you're not born again, you are born again.
Yes.
Praise God. I know that.
It happened when I was younger, but.
But y'all.
But I've been half blind since I was 29.
That's what I'm saying. I want them to pray that can be. If He's able to bring you back to your body from hell, He can definitely fix your eyes. Anybody need Jesus to forgive them? Because this lady experienced hell. She knows it's a real deal. Do you need Jesus this morning? You need to repent of your sins. Y'all hold your hands up. I just want to bless you. I want to bless you. God bless them going out. Bless them coming in, Jesus. Bless them with the fullness of God. Bless them to WWJD this week to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to live for Jesus, God. And the joy of the Lord be their strength, God, that others will see them and go, oh, they will take notice that they have been with Jesus, that we have been with Jesus, God. Complete the good work you've started in us, God, in Jesus' name. Anybody need prayer for anything? Healing, deliverance, freedom, finances, anything you need prayer for.